I'm a lot better than most Thunder fans today. It was a tough 4th of July, to say the least, here in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I would say that it would be. And just set the dynamic up there in OKC, because this is the deal. I mean, I know college sports are huge there, but this is it from a pro sport level. It's not even like Cleveland, where at least they have the Indians and the Browns and so on. This is their team, and they have supported this team phenomenally. And to lose a guy like this who came with them when they made the move from Seattle, just talk about what the sentiment is around town.
Well, you know, fans here have been pretty spoiled, because since we got the Thunder 8 years ago, Kevin Durant has always been a part of that, and then Russell Westbrook came in a year later, and they've had great success together. And, you know, I think that the realistic fan, the person that understands how pro sports work is especially, and there are a lot that are still learning in this market, but they understood that at some point the window is going to shut, and I don't think people expected it to slam shut the way it did yesterday. People were very confident going into yesterday that Durant was going to re-sign, especially after the Victor Oladipo trade on draft night. And it was – I've never seen anything like it, Tom. I mean, people as of about 9 o'clock in the morning on Twitter, people were literally just sitting in front of their computers and phones and hitting refresh, waiting for the news to come out. And the tension was incredible yesterday morning, and then when the news did come out, the reaction from most fans was pretty typical. They were very upset. They feel a little bit jilted, and now I think everybody is still in shock. We still haven't had a real discussion, I think, most fans here about what to do next, because everybody still can't believe what happened yesterday.
It's an interesting dynamic. I used to be in Nashville, and I was there, 8 or 9 years after the Titans had gotten there. And the Titans and the Predators had came in about the same time, and they had had the same coaches all the way through. And it was a town that had just become a pro sports town, and they really didn't. The media was so kind, and I'm from upstate New York, so I understand the Northeastern corridor, and I understand how media can be. But there was never a negative word said about Jeff Fisher or Barry Trotz, and because it was almost as if people were afraid if you said anything negative, they might leave. You know what I mean? The team might leave or something like that. And I wonder about it in OKC, whether or not maybe he doesn't realize just how friendly the media is. Is it a town where the media has been harsh, or is it a town where, for the most part, the media and the fans are very loving? You know, they don't tear apart every little bit of minutia.
I think it's definitely the latter. I mean, the media has been very loving to Kevin Durant and to Russell Westbrook. They've been more critical of Westbrook than Durant here, but the only time the media really was critical of Durant was during a playoff run. I want to say it was 3 years ago, and Durant, there was a headline that came out that said, Mr. Unreliable. And the media here loves, I mean, they want to be so nice to the Thunder and to Durant that it was kind of unheard of. After the headline came out, the newspaper came out and apologized for the headline, apologized to the organization, and apologized to Durant. So he definitely was treated with kid gloves by the media and by the fans here. And I think fans kind of – that makes it even worse for some of the fans. They think to themselves, man, we were so nice to you while you were here, and then you do this to us on the 4th of July, and – It was a definite heel turn in the minds of many here in Oklahoma City.
Well, it'll be interesting in Oakland, because he goes to a place where they've already got a two-time MVP in Steph Curry. They've got Klay Thompson. They got Draymond Green. He becomes the highest-paid player on the team. Curry is, by the way, the fourth highest-paid player player on that team. So that's going to be interesting. Oakland is not exactly L.A., New York, Boston. If he had gone to Boston and had an off night, you know, he'd have heard stuff that he had probably never heard before. But my opinion on this for Durant is that this is bad for Durant. I don't care about how it is for the league. I think the league has always had dynasties and top teams. That's fine. But I think for Durant, this is even worse than LeBron going to Miami. For a superstar to chase after a ring, to me, this is hollow. What was your thought on it?
You know, I think that I kind of have to look at it from a couple different ways. I certainly see where you're coming from. And I think that maybe some of it is, and we might not have picked up on it here as we should have, but maybe some of it is just frustration with the way things have gone here because they've been so close and haven't gotten over the top, and maybe he feels like that window is closing. Something that people haven't talked about, Tom, is that if Durant were to stay in Oklahoma City, if he would have stayed here, he's going to be due next season, even if he signed the 1-1 again, he's going to be due close to $35 million a year if they sign him to a 1-1 max. Well, Russell Westbrook's up next year, too. He's going to be due 30 or so. They've got Enes Kanter signed long-term at 18. Victor Oladipo's up next year. He's a restricted free agent. He could probably get, heck, nowadays in the free market, probably $20 or $20 million a year, you know, and with this new NBA salary cap. Steven Adams is a free agent. There's talk that he might be a max guy next year. So I think Durant maybe realized that, you know, I mean, there's a good team around him right now. Maybe they could get back this season. They've still got that Warriors hurdle they would have to overcome. And then after that, it would go downhill quick. So I get where you're coming from, but I also think that he probably stepped back and said, what's the best basketball decision for me? And not just chance for success, but I also think system in Golden State, the spacing that they have, the way that they play, fits his game a lot better than the type of basketball that Sam Presti and Billy Donovan and the Thunder have tried to institute here in Oklahoma City.
Todd Lisenby from 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City, our guest, talking a little Kevin Durant as he has bolted for Golden State. I thought that Billy Donovan did a tremendous job there. It'll be interesting to see where they go from here. Now, they have Russell Westbrook under control for one more season. Certainly, though, would be a major trade chip if that were the way it were to go. He right now becomes the undeniable alpha male on this team. What do you think happens with Westbrook? Could he be traded? Could he be re-signed as the key piece? Would he stay? What do you think happens with him next?
Well, the story we'd always heard is that Westbrook loves it here, that he wants to stay and be a part of this organization. I don't know how much that changes after yesterday. And you know, lots of people that are in the know say that Westbrook is unwilling to negotiate anything long-term until the end of next season. So if that's the case, if you're a Thunder fan, you've got to be, you know, hoping that the same situation doesn't happen, that you see him walk and you get nothing in return. Man, with so many teams trying to clear cap space and get good players in, I would think this would be the best time to trade him, but, and that would be such a ballsy move for Sam Presti, the GM, to say at this point in time, we're going to blow everything up. You know, just a week after Kevin Durant left, it would be a tough pill for people to swallow. And I think the other thing you've got to think about too, Tom, Sam Presti, the GM, I think he's done a good job. He makes a lot of creative moves, and this team has been successful for a long time. But at some point in time, you've got to look and say, you know, the team in 2012 that went to the finals, you've got Harden, Ibaka, and Durant that are all gone now. And at some point, Sam Presti's right. Got to take some sort of blame for that.
Well, that says something, too, about, you know, about the job they did with Billy Donovan, what he can do going forward, because I don't think they disappear if they keep Westbrook and you know, with the moves that they made so far. I don't think they'll disappear. Obviously, it's going to be a lot more competitive. When you look at the moves that Dallas has made, or with the moves especially the Spurs made, bringing Pau Gasol in there, I don't know what that does for the Spurs, Ginobili coming back. Obviously, it becomes a much more difficult division, no question, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I don't think they're going to fall out of the playoff race in the West. Oladipo coming in is a big a key this season for the Thunder, and you know they still have, and this is something Sam Presti's really good at. Even though they lost Kevin Durant, they've got a lot of really good young talent. Westbrook is still 27 years old. You've got Steven Adams, who's 23, Oladipo, who's 23, Enes Kanter, who I think is 24. They just drafted Sabonis, who's a guy they're really high on. So they've got a lot of young talent that they can still, and Billy Donovan can still, mold into a good team. I mean, with the loss of Durant, it's just hard to see how anybody in the West competes with the Warriors next season if they're healthy.
How much does the loss of Harrison Barnes hurt him? You know, it's a secondary guy, but you know, a guy that was they ended up getting almost $100 million from the Mavs anyway. Is that going to have much of an effect on him?
On the Warriors, you're saying?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think so. I think that I mean, I think Durant's going to step in and do a lot of what Barnes did. I mean, it can't help to lose Harrison Barnes, but, man, I got to think that Barnes is one of those guys that just made out like a bandit in this free agency period. He didn't play well in the playoffs. I think he's someone that fits so much in that Golden State system. I don't know that he'll have success in Dallas like he did in Golden State. He got so many open looks because of Thompson and because of Curry and because of Draymond Green. And now that's what makes it scary, Tom, is those open looks are going to go to Kevin Durant, and you would think he'd convert at a much higher percentage than Harrison Barnes did even.
Well, it's interesting because I think they become, you know, they were the little girl with the curl, you know, for so long with Steph Curry and then when winning a championship. And then we saw this with the Patriots in football, whereas when they first burst onto the scene, it was the great story, and then they became the hated team. You almost wonder if that's what's coming next for the Warriors, that they now become, you know, the embarrassment of riches. Now they become not just a target on their back, but kind of a hated team around the league. It went from being look how cool they are and Steph Curry and all that kind of stuff, to being a team that's going to be, I think, probably around the league. If you're not in Oakland, this becomes the enemy. This is the evil empire of the NBA now.
Yeah, I think you're exactly right. And it's so strange because the way that they've done it is so different than, like, for example, how San Antonio's done it. I don't think people necessarily hated the Spurs when they had all their success because the way they went about it and kind of cultivated talent and brought guys up from the draft and the way that they played. And you're right. I think in this day and age, people are going to feel like the Warriors, quote unquote, bought a title. Now they're doing it within the salary cap and within the rules. And I do think the one thing that I'm going to find most interesting, you know, there was this big Nike ad campaign with Kevin Durant about KD is not nice. And that was, you know, they kind of wanted him to lose that schoolboy image of being such a nice guy. And they wanted to, you know, promote him that way. And his brand has fallen the last few years with Nike. He signed a big contract with them. And there was always talk with this free agency thing with Kevin Durant that it was more about Nike even to some of his business people than it was about actual basketball on the court. So maybe they felt like this was also best for his brand to go to Golden State and to be hated, because when you're hated, you get attention. And when you get attention, that's better for the brand. So we'll see how that plays out next year as well.
Todd Lisenby with us, 107.7 The Franchise in Oklahoma City. All right, finally, we saw what LeBron did. You know, he went to Miami, chased the title, got two of them, and then came home. Now, this isn't home. In fact, this is as far away from home as you can get, probably, for Kevin Durant. He's a Washington, D.C. kid. I thought he'd go to – now, if he had gone to the Wizards, a bad team, and made them great, then I think that he would be admired, you know, for something like that. But he goes the other direction, goes to a great team. Is there a thought that, you know, LeBron did it, and maybe he would be back? I mean, he's only doing this 2-year deal with the player option after 1 year and so on. Is there a thought? He's only 27 years old. Is there a thought that a 29-year-old, 30-year-old Kevin Durant could be back in OKC?
That's been discussed, Tom, but I would almost say the percentage is zero if Russell Westbrook is dealt. I think the only way that happens is if Westbrook signs long-term and those two want to get back together. They've got a great relationship on and off the court. So the only way I could see, I mean, if Westbrook's dealt and they kind of restart the team, I don't see him coming back in his career.
Be interesting to see what Westbrook does next year. I mean, if they don't trade him, who says Westbrook doesn't end up out there at Golden State if they can't keep everybody else together? You know what I mean? At some point in time, you know, the money is going to get soaked up. Steph is going to have to get paid. You wonder, you know, what could happen down the road. But we'll see. Hey, listen, Todd, Oklahoma looks really good this year. Folks there, you look forward to the Sooners. And then what's going to happen there? They might be a playoff team this year. So it's only like 55 days. I don't even know what the count is. But it's less than 2 months to the college football season. So you got that, right? I mean, come on.
That's exactly right. I saw more people than I'd ever seen yesterday post the countdown to college football season. I want to say we're at 58 days. But the other thing, too, that I thought was funny with this being such a Sooner state is that the prevailing thought yesterday when Kevin Durant left was never trust the Longhorn. So the OU-Texas rivalry is alive even when an NBA free agent leaves here in Oklahoma City.
I hear you. I hear you. Well, someday, you know, over here in the SEC, we wouldn't mind having Oklahoma come on over, you know, like A&M did. You know, if they ever blow up that 12, that little 10, I call it the little 10, if they ever blow that thing up, I wouldn't mind seeing Oklahoma and Oklahoma State coming on over here to the SEC and rounding things out. That would be a nice 16-team division.
Well, I can tell you here, if it does get blown up, that's where fans want to be, is in the SEC, that's for sure.
I hear you, man. Send the Texas and the rest of those Texas teams. They could go to the Pac-12. We'll take Oklahoma
right.
and Oklahoma State over here. There you go. All right, man. Appreciate you. Great work. Todd Lisenby has been our guest, 107.7, the franchise in Oklahoma City. Thanks, Todd.
Thank you, bud.